Check, test.
Oh, my.
Okay. Oh, I need my Bible. All right. How are y'all doing? Good. Good. Fantastic.
How are you?
Fantastic. How am I? Well, I'm doing really good. I don't know what else to say besides that. I've had an interesting week, an interesting few days, but I am praising the Lord, making it through, rocking it, okay? Can you say amen to that? Yeah. All right. Okay. So, you know, I was in my home group the other night, the What on Earth Am I Here For group. Hasn't that been great?
Yeah.
Yeah. Fantastic. So I was in my group the other night, and the question was asked, what changes in your character have taken place since you were first a Christian? Now think about that one. What changes have taken place in your life since you became a Christian? So, you know, that's immediate soul searching. At least I did. I was such a mess. So much has changed in me, I know, but yet so much more needs to be changed. And I'm sure if many of you think about it, you know, a lot has changed in you. We're all in that process. But I also thought, you know, with my wife sitting right next to me during that question, can anybody else tell the difference that I think has happened in me? You know, does anybody else notice that? And before I go any further, outside of Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, my wife has helped me beyond anything else to change. And believe me, she started with a major project. So God bless Teresa. Thank you. Yes. For all you have been through. Yes. Give her a hand. She needs a hand. Yes. Yes. So I'm going to give you a few examples. So before I was saved by Christ, I wasn't reliable when it came to anything that was outside of my interest. Okay? So, you know, if it was, you know, things that I was interested in, I was always there on time and usually early. I was there. But if it was anything else that had nothing to do with me, but I had to be there, I either didn't show up or I was way late and left way early. So that, you know, Teresa has certainly helped me there. Going to events, you know, I didn't want to go to but need to go to. Okay, guys, have you ever, okay, I'm just saying, and ladies kind of cut me some slack. This is just something guys kind of think about. Have you ever not wanted to go to a wedding where you didn't know the person? Does anybody feel like that? You don't have to raise your hand because it just happens. Have you ever gone on a vacation or had to go on a vacation where you're going to see some people you don't know very well? Maybe it's people that your wife knows or maybe a family reunion. You know, and I just need to say family reunions can be great or they can be not so great. And so these kinds of things were difficult for me to go to, if at all, okay? Now, the worst one for me is a work party with my wife's employment, where I don't know a person there. What's funny is I can't see anybody relating to anything I'm saying, so I'm in real trouble, I can tell. But where I've had to go to several of these, where I didn't know anybody there, and if there's anybody here that was there when I was there, I apologize. I'm sure you're a wonderful person. But I've had some brutally uncomfortable moments in these work parties where my wife knows everybody, I know no one, and we have nothing in common. And anyway, I'm just saying it's hard. So thanks to the Holy Spirit and thanks to my wife, I am more faithful and responsible today than I was before. I'm not saying that I enjoy every single thing, but at least I show up. So that's a plus. And I was extremely insecure before I was found by Christ. You do know that essentially you don't find him. He's already found you. Did you know that? He's been looking for you. Okay? And unless, you know, it was my music or sports, something I was familiar with, then I was really insecure. And even in those things, I was insecure, and it came out as pride. So that happens a lot. If you struggle with anybody else that has pride and it drives you crazy, chances are they're that way because they're actually insecure. And it shows itself as pride. So I had that in my life. But today I am more confident in who I am, and it's not because of accomplishments that I've made or anything like that. It's because I know whose I am. And when you're humbled by the Lord, it's kind of funny. You actually become more confident because you realize it's got nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with how good you are at anything. You know, it's got nothing to do with your status in society, what you look like, anything like that. It all has to do with whose you are in Jesus Christ. And because of that, once you make that connection, then you're more confident because it's like, oh, it's not about how good I do at anything. It's all about him and whose I am. And it's an awesome thing. And before I followed Christ, I was only occasionally compassionate. If anybody can relate to that, that's not like a natural thing for me is compassion. But God really has shown me a different way. Today I can say that compassion has entered my life, and I thank the Lord for that. You know, I used to make a lot of wrong choices. But I asked God for wisdom when I became a Christian. I found out that if I asked God for wisdom, the Bible says that I will receive it. So over time, I have some godly wisdom. I'll just say it, I do. But it took time. The Holy Spirit's guidance, it was through experiences that you go through, and he's granted me godly wisdom. Wisdom has entered my life, but I still have a long way to go. But more than all else, before I became a Christian, I was selfish. I mean, I was selfish. I didn't see it at the time, but I was. And it was all about me. And the single greatest change in me, I can stand here today and say, has been being made aware, which happened real fast, that I need to think of other people more than myself. Before, I mean, it took time for any of that to take place, but right away I recognized, as soon as I was saved, wow, I'm like way the wrong direction here. And so being selfish just doesn't cut it. I'm still in that process, but life had so much more meaning when I began to realize through Christ that I'm here to be a blessing to other people. That's why I'm here. And I've given my life to that. I've given my family's life to that. Just going to share something real quick. Without giving any detail, my son's gone through some things the last few days, and some changes took place, and maybe working in another department where he is. He's got a nice job up in Vancouver, Washington, but he's gone through some trials these last few days, and he said last night, he said, you know, Mom and Dad, I think maybe that the Lord has some other people for me to minister to, and that's why he's moving me. And I thought, if I could tell you the whole story, it's been a difficult thing. And I was so full of pride for my son that was his reaction to what had taken place. And I thought, that's it. He's got it. That's it. Yes. Anyway, I just have to say that. I'm proud of my son. Always am proud of my son. Yeah. So what I'm going to talk to you today about is this. You are called to be a blessing. It's number one in your notes there to fill in. You are called to be a blessing. And in Ephesians 2:10, it says this, "For we are God's masterpiece." I want you to say that line with me. "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." So God created you. And God formed you. Think about that. God actually didn't like, sometimes we can kind of think, well, God kind of set up this way that human beings are born and created, and he just kind of lets it go. No, this says that he formed. The Bible says that he created us. So you have been created, thought about. The way that you think, your personality, your talents, your emotions, that has been formed by God. That's not an accident. You might struggle with some parts of who you are, but the way that you think, your emotions, your talents, all of these things are not an accident. God formed you that way. But you really only came into your own when you became born again. Now, God can do something with you. When you ask God to come into your heart, when you ask him to forgive you of your sins. You know, when you did that, if you haven't realized this before, when you did that, the Spirit of the living God actually came to live inside of you. He lives in you. That's why if you became a Christian a little bit later in life, that's why all of a sudden you were convicted of things. You could tell things you were doing were wrong that you never thought were wrong before. Suddenly, whoa, that's not right. Why have I been doing that? You know, just different things like that. I remember before I was a Christian, I had a filthy mouth. I didn't think about it at the time. But I did, you know, and that was one of the first things I noticed was like, whoa, you know, you use a lot of bad language. And I'd never even thought about it before. So, the Spirit of the living God comes to live inside of you. So now he can really do something with you. Because now you can hear his voice and you can obey it. Where you really couldn't do that before. But now you've got him living inside of you. So your heart is leaning toward him, not away from him. You run to him. We have a song that says that, "I'm running to your arms." You're not running away from God. You are a miracle created by the hand of God. I mean a miracle. You now are a son or daughter of God. So you might ask the question, why did God create such a masterpiece as me? Because you are a masterpiece, the Bible says. Think about the incredible way. I mean, you could go on and on and on about humans and how we think and how we see and how we feel and touch and the emotions that we have, deep emotion. And, you know, we can be hurt. We can be really happy. We can have compassion. We're miraculous. We are miraculous beings that God has created. And it's an awesome thing when you really realize that's who I am. That's who I am. You know, according to the scripture we read, we were created. One of the big reasons we were created is to do good works, that he has planned good things, to be a blessing to other people, to obey God in all that you do. So let me let you in on a little secret. If you're a person that gets easily upset when things don't go your way, or you get wounded easily or offended easily, if you get jealous of what others receive or accomplish, or if you think you don't get enough attention, or maybe you're on the flip side and you just don't care. You just don't care and you don't need anybody. You know, I need to tell you that you're missing out on life. You're missing out on real joy in your life. You're missing out on happiness. You're missing out on peace in your life. Because the secret is, and you've heard this before, but I really want you to think about it today again, life is not about you. It's not about you. It really isn't. I mean, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you're not created to be worried about yourself. You're not created to worry at all. Jesus said, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest." The Apostle Paul says, "Be anxious for what? Nothing." You weren't created to worry at all. And the way that we don't worry, one of the ways, is by leaning on Christ, running to Christ. So the secret is this, that you're created to care for others. Think about that one just a second. That's why you're here. That's why I'm standing here today. Now, fortunately, God loves us so very much. So very much. And we have that relationship with Him. But we're created to care for other people. If you think, oh, that's hard for me. Well, hang on. Hang on. You can do this. You can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. Okay? Yeah. But as long as you constantly see your problems as if the world, you know, this may be you, or you may know somebody like this, that it's like the world is against them, you know? It's like, or God is against you, you know? It's like the world's fault. Everything that happens, it's the world, it's somebody else's fault, it's some politician's fault, it's something else, you know? The blame game, I mean, that, and that's their life. I mean, and that's a sad, sad life to live. It really is. So, do you want to know God? Say yes.
Yes.
Thank you. Oh, I love this group over here. Very responsive. I love it. Should I just talk to you guys? Am I? Okay. Oh, you'll share. Okay, that's good. So, if you want to know God, one of the biggest ways to know God is to serve, love somebody. Be a blessing, okay? If you want to make a difference on this earth, you're going to need to serve. You're going to need to love somebody. You're going to need to be a blessing. You want to sleep better at night? I bet some of you do.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well, one of the biggest ways you can is to serve, love somebody, be a blessing. Yeah. If you want to stop worrying, turn your thoughts off yourself. Turn them on to others, although don't worry about them, but serve, love, be a blessing. We got to change the way we think, guys. We must allow Christ to renew our minds. Okay, so let's take a look at 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others. I'm going to stop there. Whatever gift you have, whatever you're good at, whatever spiritual gifts you have or whatever natural talents you have, the Bible says whatever gift you have received, use it to serve others. Not to serve yourself, do it to serve other people. And then I'm going to skip through to the end, although the middle is awesome. You can scan that if you like. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ, to Him be the glory. Okay, this is the change of thinking that I'm talking about. To Him be the glory. We got to change the way we think. That it's not for our benefit. It's not for our glory so we can be lifted up. So our name can be lifted up. For His glory. And this is going to make you healthy in your mind, okay, and healthy in your spirit. But you might say, Pastor Roger, that all sounds great and good, but you don't know my story, where I am. You don't know what has been done to me. No, I don't know what's been done to you. But I do know that when we see our lives as a conduit, remember Pastor Tim talked about that a couple months ago, that our lives need to be a conduit of the Holy Spirit's blessing out so that it's not stagnant. We don't have this stagnant pool within us, but that it's a conduit so that it flows out freely, okay? When our lives become that, the hurt, the bitterness, and pain begins to be healed. The hurt, the bitterness, and pain begins to be healed. And I know lots of you here that have hurt and bitterness and pain, because I know lots of you in this room. You're all awesome people, but some of you have that in you. And it ought not to be. We have to quit blaming. We have to forgive. Because we need to begin to see the good in people, and that takes effort sometimes. Because all of us have things that aren't so good. Even me, believe it or not. I know. You need some convincing, but it's true. And there's some things that I'm not very good at. And sometimes you unintentionally do something or whatever it might be. But seeing the good in people is going to change your life. It will change you. Now, it'll help other people too, but it'll change you. But that's a decision you have to make. You have to change the way you think. When we begin to bless people with our words, what kind of words are you speaking? Are you speaking life? Or are you a person that gravitates toward speaking ill will? Or you kind of gravitate toward speaking things that are detrimental to the lives of other people? When people are speaking rumors, do you want to jump into the middle of that? I want to tell you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, that's no place for you. That is no place for you. As a matter of fact, you're the person that's going to make the change in that situation. Because you're going to decide, I think differently because Jesus Christ has saved me, and I'm going to see the good in people. And though somebody might have done something wrong, God loves them, and I need to just get past that, and I need to speak good. I need to speak well of other people. That will change your life. Because guys and gals, if you don't do that, you'll never achieve what God has for you if you never get past how you speak. If you continue to stay in that, you'll never get to the place where God has for your life, because He wants you to be speaking life. He wants you to be a light on a hill. He wants you to I'll get there in a minute. I got it. All right. Oh, yeah, I got into this, and I'm like, ooh, this is good. This is good. You are called to be a blessing. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. So Jesus said he came to serve, right? That's why he came. He came to serve. He became the ultimate blessing to all of mankind forever. He did all of this not by might, not by flexing his heavenly muscle. He didn't do that. Now, he did it by becoming a servant. And he allowed the Holy Spirit, if you've never thought of Jesus this way, think about this. He emptied himself when he came to this earth. And he became a servant. And he listened to the Holy Spirit like you and me. Now, unlike you and me, he always listened to the Holy Spirit and always did what the Holy Spirit wanted him to do. So what happened when somebody did this? Well, let's see. Mankind forever was eternally changed. In a little town where there was hardly anybody living there, in a country that was a couple hundred miles wide, the entire earth was changed. And you've probably heard that poem where he was a guy who never, he didn't lead great armies. He never left the area that he was in, really. Just a little bit around this tiny area. And to this day, you watch the news, somewhere in the news, the word Israel is going to be mentioned. This little tiny piece of land, thousands of years later, it's the center of what happens in the world. It's amazing. It's literally amazing. And Jesus did every single thing that the Father said, even up to the point of dying on a cross. He bowed and said, "Your will be done. Your will be done." And that's God's way. That is God's way, is for us to be a servant. And he will cause all things you go through to work together for good, all the stuff you don't understand. If you stay true to him and you keep living it and you keep speaking well and you keep praying and you keep obeying through all the stuff that makes no sense in this life, because there's a lot that doesn't, he's going to cause it all to work together for good, and you'll be able to see most of it in time. So when you come to church, a lot of you do this, but I'm just going to mention a few of these things. When you come to church, spend some time with God before you get here. Now, that could be a new thing for a lot of you. Some of you got little kids. It's hard to do, I know, but you can do it, even if it's just a few minutes, because it'll help you to focus so that you don't depend on, we're going to have worship time when I get there, so I'll just focus then. You know, why I say that is because, I mean, it's good to do that, but it's even better to be ready before you get here and to read the Word and pray a little bit in the morning before you come to church. Get your focus right, because so that when you get here, you can lift up your head and you can look around and you can say, who will come and talk to me? You think that's what you'd say if you were ready? Who's going to come and talk to me? Will anybody come and talk to me? No, because you're going to lift up your head, look around and say, who can I encourage? Who needs to be encouraged today? Who can I be friendly to? Show me, Lord. When you come to church, don't think, nobody cared about me. Nobody cared about me. See my compassion? There it is right there. Nobody cared about me. You got to think, who can I care for? Who can I care for? They're all around you. It's easy to find somebody at church that would like to be prayed for. I mean, who doesn't like to be encouraged? Who doesn't like a friendly, honest face? Everybody does. Come on. You know, so even just in coming to church, you know, if it's a couple times a week that you're coming here, there's all this opportunity. There's all these people that you can have an impact on. And when you're outside of church, who can you be a good neighbor to? Who can you help? Who can you encourage? We're talking about blessing other people. Who can I be gracious to? When I golf with non-believers, people just, you know, there are a lot of them are really nice people. But I want to encourage them. My goal when I go out there is to bless them. I mean, it's always nice to shoot a good round, but that's another matter. But I try not to let that really, you know, stop what my true purpose in life is. But God has prepared good works for you to do. Look for them. You're called to be a blessing. All right, our worship team recently led worship for the Oregon Network Summit of the Assemblies of God. There's a picture of us, and it was an awesome thing. It was truly was an honor to be asked. We have great leadership with Pastor Bill Wilson at the network office and all the other leaders. It really is, it's good for you to know that there are good, excellent leaders in our network in the state of Oregon. And our team works hard from week to week. I don't know if you ever think about that, but we, to have this many people up here and to have them all play music that, first of all, that that makes sense and sounds good. And then to go beyond that and to lead you all sincerely and honestly into worship takes practice. They practice consistently. They're together a lot. They actually get along. That's another miracle. And they encourage one another. They don't complain. I've known they were in it for all the right reasons, but this group had never led worship outside of our church, most of them. A few of them had gone to Bend one other time, but most of them hadn't. They went to this conference for one reason, to be a blessing. Now, I'm going to brag on these guys. They went to serve, and they went to minister to the pastors and wives that were at this conference. You know, these pastors and wives and leaders, they work hard every week. It's not easy to be a pastor. It's not easy to be a pastor's wife. A lot of them have difficulties, a lot of difficulties. And so it was an honor to be able to serve them, and that's how our team looked at it. When we arrived, all the sound equipment had to be removed. So I don't know if you can see it on, yeah, you can see it. All the stuff you see, all the black stuff, speakers, everything that was sound had to be removed. And just look at our platform. Imagine all this stuff up here having to be removed, and you didn't know that it would all have to be removed ahead of time. Because, see, you can't tell right now, but like that screen there is an LED wall, so it's LED, it's not like a, it doesn't have a projector. So they had to put that up, they had to put those trusses up, there's a whole bunch of trusses that you don't see, those are the things that are sticking up on the sides. All the lighting, there was intelligent lighting kind that moves. Because of all of that, they had to remove all of the sound. So that very understandably made them frustrated, the local people at that church. They worked hard. They really did a great job controlling that frustration. I would have been frustrated if that would have happened to me and I wasn't told ahead of time. So that all had to be removed. But our team, through all of that, they really weren't fazed at all, not that I could see. As a matter of fact, they had smiles on their faces. They just did fantastic. They helped where they could. They patiently waited when there was nothing they could do. You know, and when you lead worship or you play in a band, what you hear is really important. If you were to come up here when we're playing, you'd be surprised how loud it is, first of all. But what we hear is not what you hear. It's two different things. And so you have to be able to hear the drums, the piano, the guitar. You need to hear your own instrument. You need to hear certain things so that you can just make good music, okay? And we are blessed because we have these acoustic panels. Yeah, you can see some of them from where you are. These things on the wall here, these tan things that run up and down, okay? And then we have them all the way across the back. And that enables this room to be so that there's not a lot of echo in here, okay? And so, and then you've got these clouds that are up above. That's what those are called, clouds. And that helps kind of keep everything down so we don't get this big woo-woo thing, okay? So this room actually has very good sound. God bless them at Grants Pass. They have a lot of good equipment, but they have not done that. And so the sound was like, I can't really describe it on the stage. On the stage, it was like when everybody would be playing, it would start getting this, almost like the sound was going like this. And then you were like, I can't hear what's going on. I don't know where I am in the song. I'm going to give a rough estimate. And the reason why I tell you all that, because our team was so patient. Robert, who's not here today, had arrived well beforehand, our piano player, and he had to learn a whole new keyboard. And he got there way early, learned it. By the time we got there, he was ready. I mean, that is awesome. That is just a servant. I love that. And yeah, he's awesome. Awesome. When the sound wasn't good at all during practice and we were trying to get it right, it took a long time. Our team was so patient. They didn't complain. They served. When we began to lead worship, from the first song they served, they blessed. And it so came across to the pastors, wives, and leaders. Beyond the music, people weren't saying, nobody was saying to me, oh, that sounded so great. Even though I heard from some people that I knew that it did sound good out there, that it wasn't as bad out there as it was on the stage. But I got to say that it was all about the worship. All about the worship. When people would come to me, they would just hug and hug, and I'd see them hugging the other team members. Oh, thank you for worship. Thank you for leading us in worship. And oh, I was so proud of our team. They served. Yeah. What was in their hearts rose to the surface. You know, when things are tough, what you got inside comes out. You know, it could have been really frustrating, and they did fantastic. And I got to say, I've never been prouder of a group of people that I pastored. Ooh, didn't see that coming. I have not been prouder of a group of people I have pastored. So in order to be a blessing to others, you got to have an attitude of gratefulness. I'm going to give you these 3 points real quick, okay? Real quick as I close here. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 20. Make sure nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This says to strive to do good and give thanks in all circumstances. This is how to be a blessing to other people. The worship team looked at the opportunity as an honor and was grateful to serve. And because they had that attitude, they were able to get through things that were uncomfortable and still maintain and still be positive because they were there to be, they were grateful, okay? So, how can I be more grateful? How can you be more grateful? I'm going to say what I've said 100 times, what you've heard here 100 times, and what you hear everywhere in this building 100 times. 3 words, read my lips. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Please, even if you feel like I'm not a good reader, then read just a little bit. Just read your Bible. Read the New Testament. If you're struggling to know what to read New Testament and Psalms at the very least. And just read a little bit. Just read a little bit every day. Just a little. Just a little, and then think about it. Meditate on it. Just think about it a little bit. It's going to change you. It's going to change you. It's going to make you grateful. All right, 2, in order to be a blessing to others, you must have an attitude of trust in God. Familiar scripture, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. How are you going to know what to do? How are you going to know what good things to do? You need to trust in the Lord. He's going to direct your paths. You need to look eagerly for Him. At the network conference, there was a ton of unknowns when we got there. There were all kinds of things that were unknowns. How the services were going to go. I had a plan, but it wasn't. But it got changed all the time, and that's fine. But it was because of the attitude. It was because of the attitude. And no matter what came their way, our worship team was ready to go with it and trust the Lord for wisdom, patience, and strength. All right, so the third thing is, in order to be a blessing to others, you must have a willingness to work. Really? I got to work? Sometimes I have to actually do something? Yeah. You know, Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, work heartily. Everybody say, work heartily. Work heartily. One more time. Work heartily. Yes, we actually have to do something. Yeah. And I got all kinds of people I was going to name in our church. There's so many of you that are just hard workers. And you bless people that way. I love it. All right. Can I have the worship team come up, please? And I'm just going to close here. So one of the greatest things about becoming a Christ follower is the change that happens to your character. And one of the greatest changes in your character is going to be that you begin to be a blessing rather than always looking to be blessed. I love the teaching of a blessed life. I love the teaching. Sometimes I don't like the title they gave it because it's kind of like, it's not about your blessed life, even though that's good. It's about blessing others, and that's what the teaching all is. And Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven." And Jesus is speaking in the Beatitudes about people who would be blessed. Do you want to be blessed? You will be blessed when you bless others. That's how it happens. And that's a whole nother message. And you are called to be a blessing. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you so much. We thank you, Lord God, that for all that you have done for us, we have an attitude of gratefulness today. And Lord, just want to pray for each person that's here this morning. And Lord, even for people that really are servants in this room, Lord, I just want to pray they take another step in their heart toward you. Lord, I want to pray for those who are sitting here today and they realize, wow, in my life, I have been pretty selfish. I want to change. Lord, I want to pray for them. Pray, Lord God, see their heart, God. You turn your face toward those who humble themselves before you. Turn your face toward them, Lord, we pray. And God, just want to pray that the Word of God becomes rich in every person within the sound of my voice. We love you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Roger. Let's give him a hand this morning. Just say thank you for that good word today. Amen. Such a good word. Blessed to be a blessing. And certainly that's a good thing to remember as we receive our seeds for the harvest offering this morning, that God has blessed us. He has provided for us. And this morning, if you're new with us, we are doing a second offering today called Seeds for the Harvest. And through our Seeds for the Harvest offerings, we are paying down our church mortgage, and we are so close to being there. We are just a few hundred thousand dollars from completely paying off $1.5 million dollar mortgage. And so God has truly blessed Bethel Church over the years. And so this morning, I want you to know as we give, I don't want you to feel like you're being pressured. I don't want you to feel like there's any kind of guilt trip with this offering or anything like that. It's a joy to give to the Lord, isn't it? And the reason we teach you here at Bethel Church about giving, it's not so that we can meet needs, even though it does that. We teach giving around here because we know that as we give to the Lord, it's a blessing to us. It blesses you when you give. Because God is going to bless you, and it opens up your heart when we freely give of what God has provided for us. It just opens our heart to be giving and caring people, to be generous people, and then God just pours his blessing upon that. And so that really, even though we've got these financial goals, really as we give this morning, this is, it's not about the money. It's about our hearts, isn't it? It's about what God is doing in our lives, in our hearts. And so I just want to begin, as we receive this offering, to just say thank you to you. We started this campaign about a year ago, and we have 1 month left to go. Our first Sunday in June is going to be our last offering for this campaign. And since we started our campaign just over a year ago, in our Seeds for the Harvest offerings, you have given over $150,000. And so that is just so exciting and so awesome. And so I want you to know how proud I am of you, because I know most of you, in this room, you're not wealthy. You're not rich. I mean, we're all wealthy by the standards of the world and how most people in the world live. most of us, by American standards, we're not wealthy people, and yet you've given sacrificially. And that's what this May Day offering is about. It's about the fact that just a couple of months ago, we just challenged everybody to say, hey, could you give up, you know, could you give up some lattes? Could you rob your piggy bank? Could you invest your tax return? All of those kind of things. Can you think of a way that you could sacrificially give in this offering? And I know in talking to some of you over the last few weeks, you've been thinking about that, you've been praying about it, and there are specific ways that the Lord has helped you to give. One of the things I'm excited about is our children's pastor, Pastor Ben, wanted to involve the kids because he wants to teach them these principles of giving and the fact that we're blessed to be a blessing. And so our kids had a goal. It started a couple of months ago, just bringing in offerings for Seeds for the Harvest this morning. They started bringing in offerings and just bringing in their nickels and dimes and quarters. And so their goal was to raise $300. Now, how many of you know that's a lot for kids, isn't it? Pretty big goal. How many of you think that the kids made that goal and they brought in $300? Anybody? Yeah, they did. Yeah. How many of you think they did a little better than 300? How many of you think they brought in $400 at least? 400? 500? You still with me? Okay. So their goal was 300. The kids, the children of Bethel Church, Pastor Ben just handed me this morning, have given for this offering, before we receive this, this amount has already come in this offering, from the kids, $609. Yeah. From our children. And so we wanted them to be a part of this, so the kids are actually going to bring their offering in this morning. And so if we could have the representatives of the children's ministry come on in. And they're going to bring in their Seeds for the Harvest offerings. Yeah. Yeah.